Thank you, Kathy. The Spirit of God renews the earth. Let us stand as we are able and call ourselves into an attitude of worship so that we may bless the name of the Lord. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let us worship our ever-present God. Our opening hymn is Every Time I Feel the Spirit, number 315. Please remain standing for the litany for Pentecost. The Lord God, the true and only light, showers us with every good gift. This same Lord sent the Spirit into our lives with the mighty power of a mighty wind. With tongues loosened by fiery flames, let us voice words of hope and peace. One Holy Spirit, Creator God, in the beginning you moved over the waters. From your breath, all creation drew life. Without you, life turns to dust. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, power, you came as fire to Jesus' disciples. You gave them voice before rulers of this world. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, sanctifier, you created us children of God. You made us the living temple of your presence. You intercede for us with sighs too deep for words. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, giver of life, you guide and make holy the church you create. You give gifts, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, the spirit of knowledge and piety, the spirit of awe of the Lord, that the whole creation may be transformed. With all the saints of all times and all places, we rejoice. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We confess who we are. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin to our Creator. Almighty God, you poured your Spirit on us, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. We confess that we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace. Speak the good news of your love, or live as people made in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit, and fill us with a flaming desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are assured of whose we are. Through Christ, God has poured out the Holy Spirit upon us for the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with those around you.
Precious eyes are ever.
The scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. It's found on page 174 of the New Testament of your Pew Bible. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another the workings of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. This ends the reading.
So, what does it mean to be a people of faith? How do we faithfully express our beliefs? Are we less faithful if we do not express ourselves in particular ways? Churches throughout the country seem to be struggling with questions like these, and that we aren't alone in our struggle is comforting. And it seems that the early Corinthian congregation also faced this issue. You can tell from Paul's response in today's reading that they boldly and bravely engaged their concerns with him. So by asking ourselves what might have caused Paul to respond as he does, we can grasp that the Corinthian people were asking him some specific questions about which they had some very strong opinions. Apparently, a good number of their community were claiming that the Holy Spirit had gifted them in extra special ways, ways that were higher value than most other spiritual gifts, ways that enabled them to express their faith more faithfully. These gifts were thought to bring something special to the life of the church. Prophecy, wisdom, healing, working miracles, speaking in tongues, and interpreting those words were among the most valued of these gifts. And some in the community thought that people hearing or bearing those gifts were more significant than those who did not. The concept of which gifts were better than others actually threatened to irreparably divide the church. So these Corinthians have been asking Paul for guidance. And in his response, the apostle recognizes something that the others seem to have forgotten. None of these gifts, or any gifts, would be possible for any of these people except for the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God in their lives. You see, the Spirit, as the face of God, is the giver of spiritual gifts. More importantly, it's the Spirit who encourages human beings to seek God in the first place. We may think that we are bringing someone to Jesus by bringing them to church with us, but that kind of thinking is an illusion. The impetus for faith comes as a direct result of the Spirit's presence in someone's life. We may open the doors for that person to get acquainted with God by inviting them to church, but the inspiration comes straight from God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in this kind of action, is truly a mysterious actor. And today's affirmation of faith, which we'll read in a little while, says this: we trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. And then later it says, the same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ, etc., etc. Well, this Spirit is inspiring us too, not just the people back in Paul's day. But I want you to think about the word inspire. It comes from the same Latin root as the word respire does. Inspire and respire. And that root word means to breathe, to be filled with air. And as Christians, we speak of the Holy Spirit as filling us with the breath of life. So when someone is inspired by the Spirit, his or her lungs can be filled with not just life-giving air, but a sense that they are to bring something to fruition, to be fruitful for God. And even today, the Holy Spirit fills people with holy impetus throughout life. This goes not just for people that we see on the street. It goes for us too. Now, the greatest spiritual gift from God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, comes to a person when the sustainer, God's Spirit, inspires, fills someone with the urge to seek God. And that is what's behind Paul's first words in today's reading. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, no one can pretend they didn't need the Spirit to recognize the lordship of Jesus or to develop their own particular spiritual gifts. We all depend on the Spirit to confess Christ as Lord. Martin Luther was so firm about this idea that he wrote in his small catechism these words: I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but instead the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts. If we take Luther's words as truth, it follows that all other spiritual gifts also come from the Holy Spirit. And no wonder that Paul declares that all such gifts are for the common good and are equal in God's sight. So no one should boast that their gift is extra special. And you gotta know that that probably took some of those Corinthians down a few notches. Well, after he levels the playing field between all the believers in Corinth with his words, Paul lists out a good number of spiritual gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith and healing, even speaking in tongues. And all are well and good, But he adds a note to help people gain a deeper understanding of them. He tells his readers that Christ's church is just like a human body that has many parts, and that all are necessary, good, to be made use of, and are spirit-given. Paul tells the community that all of them are baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body, the body of Christ. And in that action, the Spirit gave each of them something to be offered for the good of the community. Therefore, all these members have a role to fill in it, and using their gifts is a way to honor God. Doing so is responding in thanks to God's gift of grace, or forgiveness, or salvation, whichever term you prefer. It's a way to say thank you. You know, the 18th century poet Alexander Pope once wrote, "Act well your part, for there all honor lies." If the Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts, how could a role from that Spirit, a gift from that Spirit, not be honorable? All spiritual gifts are needed for the community's well-being. And in that sense, all gifts are equal in God's sight. None are more valuable than the others. Yet, some of the more competitive Corinthians were hoping Paul would say otherwise. They wanted to be better than the others in the church. I'm glad to say that does not seem to be a problem in this congregation. However, I wonder, could it be that we believe our spiritual gifts have been used up? Could we be competing with our old selves by thinking that now that we are older, we no longer have a spiritual gift to share with the community? I wonder, too, how many of us remained in the same job that we began when we first got out of school? Don't most people learn new tasks in their jobs or find new kinds of work over the course of their careers? It is regularly reported that the average American adult will change careers at least twice, if not three or four times, during their life. Could that not be because the Holy Spirit's gifts are being revealed to each of us over our lifespan? How old was Abraham when God invited him to move from Ur to Canaan? And when did he and Sarah have Isaac? And look at Moses. He was leading the Hebrew people to the land of milk and honey at age 120. He had already been the basket baby who brought joy to Pharaoh's daughter. He'd been a killer and a shepherd before he ever came back to Egypt to become God's great prophet. Neither of these men knew all of the gifts they'd been given when they were young and robust. Okay, I admit, not all of us would undertake such journeys at our ages. Not all of us have feet that can walk such distances as those two. And some of the gifts that we offered so willingly, like singing in the choir or sweeping and dusting the sanctuary, have needed to fall by the wayside. I do get it. And granted, some of us were given the capacity to teach or to heal or to become wise or to speak as prophets. I don't know if anyone has ever spoken in tongues here. But I do believe that our gifts are more varied than we are in numbers. And often as not, as we mature, we discover those gifts are actually ways in which God can work with grace and mercy for the good of all people. Truly, like Moses and Abraham throughout our lives, God calls each of us to use our spiritual gifts so that the body of Christ can be fruitful. I suspect that neither Abraham or Moses or Noah or the disciples or anyone else in the Bible truly knew what all of their spiritual gifts were when they were young. Paul certainly didn't. Think about it. He was there to persecute the followers of Jesus's way. It's truly surprising how the Spirit works. In verse 11, Paul reminds his readers that spiritual gifts are activated by the Spirit, who's allotted the gifts as that Holy Spirit so chooses. Everything comes in God's good time. And so this brings us to three related questions. Questions which, if you don't have a little piece of paper with them on it, now you will get one as you leave the sanctuary today. Here they are. I want you to think about them. What spiritual gifts is God inviting you to use at this time in your life? How can you faithfully express your belief in Jesus as Lord to others today? How can you use the gifts the Holy Spirit has blown into you for the good of the community and all people? One of the ways others know that we are people of faith is that we recognize and choose to use our gifts throughout our lives for the common good. When you think about it, all our skills and talents are spiritual gifts, all of them. When used for the common good, they are spiritual gifts. On Pentecost, today, when the church as we know it was born, when those who gathered began speaking in tongues, they were speaking about Jesus Christ in the languages of the people they met rather than in their own Aramaic language. That is just one way to share the faith with the world. It's not necessarily the best way, and it isn't the only way. Our words are important. But so too are our actions throughout our lives. So again, over the coming week or months, I invite you to ponder the questions that we've wrestled with today. Expressing our faith in this world is a way of thanking God for the gift of being called children of God. Brothers and sisters of Jesus the Christ, who lived and breathed and still lives and breathes in each of them, now and always. Thanks be to God, who has gracefully given us so many spiritual gifts. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 435, We Are All One in Mission.
Thank you.
Please remain standing for the affirmation of faith from the brief statement of faith. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the Church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the Church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask adulteries in church and culture, to hear the voices of people long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." Please be seated.
Spirit, Creator God, Word made visible, we praise you in all of your forms. In your wisdom, you created life and called us to serve as stewards of your world. We thank you for the privilege of serving you and for the gifts you have showered upon each of us so that we might work together as one body to fulfill your desires. By the fire of your Spirit, O God, forge us into one church, filled with so many different peoples, so we might share in expressing Jesus' compassionate love for the world. Set our hearts afire with a love for the truth and the desire to do your will, so our witness to Christ may burn brightly in lives of joyful discipleship. We ask that your Spirit blow us towards the life you intend for each of us. Cause the fires of justice, mercy, and humbleness to warm our hearts so that they may be melded with those of your children the world over who pray together on this holy day. May your church here and abroad gather in unity. May our old and young dream dreams of peace and visions of harmony. We pray that your Spirit will breathe new hope into those who live amidst battles between warring parties. And we pray for the people of Nigeria and Turkey, who will soon be led by new leaders. May these men govern with your grace, remembering always that you provided them with the skills and talents to lead. We lift to you those for whom having enough food to eat is becoming an ever difficult challenge, and for those who have lost the dignity of having a place to call home. We pray for those who seek to fulfill their needs, particularly through the ministries of Eastside, a place where they have experienced a 150% explosion in the use of their pantry over last year alone. O Lord, help them. Fill them with your goodness and provide for their needs each day. We pray, too, for those who are frail or ill of health, be their conditions of body or mind or spirit. And we lift up to you those who labor on behalf of these fragile people. Relieve the pain of the sick. Give them comfort in their time of need. Now we ask you to join with us as we remember the men and women who made their final sacrifice in efforts to bring peace to your green yet broken world. We are grateful for their service and for their love of you as well as of this country. We ask that you hold their families, as well as those currently serving in the military, in your love, trusting that they serve your justice by protecting life and liberty around the globe. O Lord, you have given us all that we need in order to be fruitful for your glory on this earth. We thank you for those gifts, especially the love of family and the support of friends, which you have so richly blessed us with. Now we ask that you hear our humble, yet hopeful hearts as we remember the words which your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 319, Spirit.
Indeed, the Spirit is gentle. The Spirit is restless. The Spirit calls us. And the Spirit has gifted us. Each and every one of us has been given a myriad of gifts, some that are revealed as we are babies and children and young adults, and some that are revealed as we become more mature through the years. So I invite you to consider what your gifts are and how you can use them for the common good now. But know that you do not do this by yourself. Know that the Spirit helps you discern, and that as you go out into the world to serve the common good, that you always go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in community with that Holy Spirit that blows, is gentle, and calling each and every day. Amen and amen.
O Trinity.